This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome. It is The Health Show with me, Dr. Koka Chai. He's a GP, a general practitioner, and an active office bearer of the Malaysian Medical Association for many years now. We're going to be discussing headaches. Now, we've all had them, and yet very few of us really understand why they occur or what's really going on. They're really the bane of many Malaysians, and Dr. Koka is here to shed more light on that. Welcome to the show, Dr. Koka. How are you?
Good afternoon. Darmira.
Could you just, you know, let me know a little bit more about your involvement in the Malaysian Medical Association? I understand you've done quite a number of years or served quite a number of years in the association.
Well, I think today we're not here to talk about me.
No. But,
well, I've served quite a lot of positions in the Malaysian Medical Association. Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of a passion, right? But apart from that, I'm quite an active medical practitioner.
Okay.
And I do see quite a lot of cases of headaches throughout the years of my practice.
Right. Very few GPs actually come through our door. Mm. Primary care is crucial to the whole healthcare system.
Very true.
Something that we overlook. We seem to have a lot of faith in the consultants. You know, they're doing very good work too. But primary care is extremely. Why is there a gap, Dr. Koh?
Well, I wouldn't like to say too much about the consultants, otherwise somebody will come after me, right? But anyway,
no, why, it goes back to us.
No,
our perception of the general practitioner,
right,
and, you know, why we think that we need to go to a specialist when we even have a headache, for an example.
Well, there are many factors contributing to that, but I would say that throughout the years of medical care in Malaysia, a general practitioner has been an important part of the medical service being provided by whether it's private sector or the government. Mm-hmm. Usually you will see the primary care doctor who is the first person to see you for any ailment, any disease which you have. Now, the thing is that as our society becomes more, well, you know, economy-wise, we have progressed up to a certain level where people can afford more.
We're more affluent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they would think that if I can afford specialist care, why shouldn't I go direct to the specialist instead of going through a GP whom they perceive might not be so knowledgeable, mm-hmm, as compared to a specialist?
Okay.
So just bypass and go straight to, okay, a specialist.
But how important is the GP in the system?
It's very important because the GP would be the person who would be making the initial diagnosis. And if the condition cannot be treated at primary care level, then the GP, or rather the primary care practitioner, will make the correct referral. Instead of, like, if you were to go to a specialist, you might think that just because I've got something around my breast, I should see an ONG. Mm-hmm. But that might not be the case. So in essence, you would be wasting quite a lot of time, and then you will be spending even more moving around from this specialist to the other specialist.
Okay. In your 20 years of experience, how often have you seen people complaining of headaches?
Every day.
I can imagine. And, you know, what do you put it, I mean, how do you handle situations like that? I mean, everyone coming through your door saying they have headaches. Angin is one. How do you cope with that?
Well, it's part and parcel of what we do every day. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, a lot of people coming through our doors with complaints of headaches, especially nowadays, they tend to think there's something more serious with them.
Yep.
And they expect us to, you know, refer them to certain specialists to do a lot of investigations which might not be necessary. Mm-hmm. Because headaches, majority of the cases of headaches are something which can be alleviated by medication, as well as maybe sort of a change in lifestyle. And it's not necessary that we should do a lot of investigations.
Okay, but how do you make that differentiation? How do you know that, you know, more investigations is needed as opposed to, you know, just someone who's stressed or someone who's, right, not had enough rest?
Okay, therein lies the danger, mm-hmm, of underdiagnosing, because, yeah, being a general practitioner, we see day in and day out so many cases of headache. Mm-hmm. And if we were to just dismiss every case of headache as a simple headache, what we call as primary headache, we might make a mistake of missing out a case which is, we would say secondary headache due to some other causes. So it's not that easy anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's not easy for me to explain how we overcome such problems. But when the patient comes in through our doors, we need to take a proper history to find out what exactly they're complaining about. before we can go further to say whether we should refer them off for investigations and all that.
How often has it been something more serious?
Through all my years of practice, I think I can count those cases in my
really?
Two hands.
20 years?
Yes, not that many.
Less actually. Than 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are really overreacting. What are some of the common causes of headaches?
Well, you know, especially in KL, the amount of stress we undergo when we, you know, day in and day out.
Yep.
So we do get a lot of headaches, which is caused by stress.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, of course, we can't discount the fact that there are many other causes like migraine and all that. But we do see a lot of cases which has been caused by the lifestyle.
Yeah. What's the difference between a headache and a migraine?
Well, if you talk about the symptoms part of it, when you talk about this tension type of headache, it depends on how they explain to us. So normally when they complain about a headache coming on, you know, it's sort of constricting, sort of a pain in the head. And it's not that severe, but it does affect the way they go about their daily work.
Yes.
But not to the extent where they have to stop work altogether.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to migraine, when it comes, the pain is really severe. And they tend to avoid talking to anyone. They'll go into the room and then they just hide in the room, you know, switch off the lights, and they do not want any sound. They switch off the radio. So basically, it is something like that.
Okay. And besides migraine, are there other causes for more severe headaches?
There are, but then these are the two most common sort of headaches which we do see in their daily practice.
Which is migraine and?
And the tension type of headaches.
Okay, all right. And what do you advise them to do? I mean, if it's migraine, there's really not a lot you can do.
Well, in my years of practice, patients who have got migraine, they tend to get, I would put the word in inverted commas, I mean, they get used to it. Not that they can bear the pain, but they know when the pain is going to come, and they do take preventive measures, and they would go for certain medications which they are familiar with and which they feel works for them. And initially, they might be very worried and see doctors, but after a number of years, they tend to, you know, self-medicate.
Yeah. Which is not the best thing.
Not the best thing in Malaysia, but we know that they can get the medication.
Everyone does that, right. Dr. Koh, when it comes to headaches. I mean, what's your advice to people who keep self-medicating, constantly getting headaches and, you know, just popping pills?
Well,
there's so much over-the-counter stuff that you can get hold of.
They need to understand that there are side effects or adverse reactions to each and every medication which they take out there. Even though there are certain medications which are considered safer alternatives to others,
mm-hmm.
but there are side effects. And there is also a sort of headache where the patient gets headache when they overuse the medication.
Yeah.
If they use it for a long time, over a period of few months, they get headache because of the medication.
Really?
Right.
Wow. Okay, let's just take paracetamol for an example,
right?
That's the easiest thing to pop into your mouth when you actually have a headache.
The savior for everyone when they have headache.
But then I'm sure there are long-term effects of people taking paracetamol in the long run. What are some of those side effects?
If I were to go into side effects, I think everyone would be worried, and then they'll go to something else, which I would feel has even more side effects than paracetamol.
Okay.
By and large, paracetamol is quite safe, provided it's taken in the correct dosage.
Mm-hmm.
And we always advise our patients to please stick to our recommended dosage, which is up to 8 tablets per day. But I have patients who, you know, they keep on popping. I prescribe for 3 days and they come back tomorrow and say they finished everything.
Right.
And paracetamol, I think a lot of people are not aware that if you take more than 20 tablets per day, you end up with damage to the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I've seen patients who came in with problems arising from excessive paracetamol ingestion within a day,
mm-hmm.
and sad to say the patient passed away after a few days.
Yeah, I mean, especially with children, you have to be very careful of the dosage.
Especially children. There have been cases where parents overdose their children on paracetamol,
yep.
and they end up in hospital not because of the illness, but because of the medication.
Of the medications, yeah.
Right.
And that's why when they say you have, you know, a fever and stuff, if paracetamol isn't working, then you may have to look at suppositories and things like that.
Well, basically, it's still the same product. It's just that it's taken in different forms, mm-hmm. whether you are just ingesting it or whether you're putting it in a suppository, but it's still the same. Same side effects would still be the same.
Okay. As a doctor, I mean, how do you deal with the fact that pain, everyone has a threshold for pain.
Right.
I could come and tell you, goodness, my head is killing me. Someone else could come and say, you know, I have a mild right. headache. How do you gauge who has a higher threshold? I know the men have a lower threshold than the women, that's for sure. Am I correct in this?
I won't say anything on that. but you're correct, actually, because we have got men who come in and, you know, but
overreacting to pain.
Right, but having said that, the threshold of pain for everyone is different. We see a different threshold for different races and a different sex. Well, so, but we have seen people who come in very calmly, and when we examine them, we know that really suffering, I mean, they're in great pain, but they tend to hold it within themselves. They can take it. But there are some people, you know, the moment they walk in the clinic, they'll be screaming their voice out. But the pain, we know, is just mild pain. So it's difficult for us to classify the pain according to severity. It's very subjective.
Very hard to measure.
Yes.
Yeah, if you know, there's a medical breakthrough, I'd love to. I think it'll help you a whole lot.
Right.
We're discussing headaches with Dr. Kokachai. If you have a question for him, send it through. The number is 016-201-9000 or you can tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. We're discussing headaches with Dr. Kokachai. He's a general practitioner and an active office bearer of the Malaysian Medical Association for many years now. And we are exploring migraines, headaches, the differences. You know, Doctor, before we went, we left off just now, we spoke about buying over-the-counter medications. And after a while, you find that we seem to be overly reliant on over-the-counter medications to treat headaches.
Right.
How do you know you're being over-reliant and when should you stop?
Well, the moment we go to the pharmacy and pick up medication, we should know that it is meant for short-term relief. But the problem is that once you get relief from, when you try it once, each and every time you get some sort of mild headache which might not need medication, you will just go and pop in a pill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a shortcut sort of thing. And I would like to qualify myself again when I mentioned about taking 8 tablets of paracetamol. Paracetamol comes in many different formulations out there, and our Malaysian public needs to be aware that paracetamol alone, they have got different dosages. Some come in 500 milligrams, 650 milligrams. They need to know what is the required dosage. And there are paracetamol which comes in different combinations with caffeine and whatnot. And they need to know that each and everyone with paracetamol is different and the indications are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I would advise that even though it can be bought over the counter, you can pick it up off the shelf, it would be advisable to ask the pharmacist who is in the pharmacy to explain to you further as to what are the indications for each of these preparations.
Okay. How much do we rely on the dosage which is written on the box of, you know, whatever medications we're buying? Those are very general, dosages. They just say 2 for adults, 3 times a day kind of thing.
Right.
How is that accurate enough?
For general use, it's accurate enough. And the only thing is for doctors, sometimes we do tend to modify the dose. Well, but we do it according to the prescribed clinical practice guidelines. Mm-hmm. But the dosages which are written there are actually very safe dosages, which whereby we do not anticipate any problems if they were to follow the dosage. And I would advise the public to really read the, because every package will have a package insert meant for consumers.
Yes.
They have to read that carefully.
Yeah, I see most of the time people like me will just chuck it out.
Right.
It's like too much to read. Forget about it. But really, we should be reading those guidelines.
Yes.
Do you become immune to some of these over-the-counter medications after a while if you keep popping them all the time?
Immune? Well,
and then as a result, you need to keep taking more and more of it.
We do hear people always complaining about, whatever medication they take, after some time, they feel that they should change it because it's not helping. But then the question is, did they really need the medication in the first place? That's my concern, rather than saying that they've been taking it after some time, they get immune. The thing is, they should, you know, explore the reasons why they take it in the first place and avoid taking it.
Sure. And so when people come to you, is medications the way to go with, or are there alternative ways of managing these headaches? For an example, a very natural way of, you know, maybe relaxing, exercising. Someone's Rundip is asking, what do you think of chiropractic treatment for headaches instead of, you know, medications?
Well, people have resorted to chiropractic treatment for headaches, and it's been proven, okay, depending on what sort of headaches, it's been proven. Now, coming back to the your question earlier, I would put it back to you. When you visit the doctor, if doctor were to explain to you how to, you know, release your tension and this and that, I think he would just say, doctor, I paid you money for medication to treat my illness, and you are talking about all sorts of things. That's the problem with
Malaysia. It's a quick fix, isn't it? It's a quick fix. But there are other methods that you can... What else would you recommend? Especially for people with tension headaches.
Well, I say it's most likely due to a lifestyle, because nowadays, in the young, it's because of pressures from in school. You know, the amount of homework they have to do. That's why we see a lot of small, younger people having headaches now. And, all the work which they have to complete on time, assignments, and pressure from the parents, pressure from the teachers. And as far as working adults are concerned, everyone has got deadlines to meet. And if we can really take the chance to, you know, just sit back a bit and relax, well, easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But it really helps a lot.
Yeah. Should children actually be experiencing headaches? Is that quite normal?
Well, I would say it's normal now, because I do see a lot of patients, young pediatric age group patients, who come in with complaints of headache. There are quite a few.
I mean, back in the day, the first thing that says, go check your eyesight.
Yes.
You know, as children.
Yes.
But now you have you also have stress headaches.
Yes.
But then how do you know it's not part of a larger problem?
Well, that would, we do need to examine the patient. Number one, we need to get a proper history from the parents, and then we need to really examine the patient before we can make a decision on that.
Okay. Other sorts of headaches, hangovers after a heavy night of drinking also contributes towards headaches. I mean, what's going on as a symptoms of hangover? What's really going on?
Hangover, well, there are many reasons. One would be the effects of the alcohol itself. And the other thing is because they tend to stay up so late at night. And, well, I wouldn't say so late at night. So early in the night, they come at 4, 5 a.m. in the morning. Well, all this, everything contributes to that. So, for hangovers, sometimes doctors would just prescribe some analgesics and all. But nothing beats a rest after that.
Okay. It's alcohol playing tricks in your head. When should you sort of, you know, when it affects daily function, they also, on some of these boxes or in these warning leaflets in these medications, they always say, do not handle or heavy machinery, do not drive, things like that. Why is that?
Well, actually, a lot of medication do have an impairment on our daily activities. And, the effect on everyone is different. There are some who can still manage, there are some who can't. But I think it's always safe to tell patients that when they take certain medications, they do need to really stay away from all this, not only heavy machinery and all that, but driving, right? And sometimes if you're working in certain professions, like, you know, working in the bank, you need to do a lot of calculations, you know, you're handling people's money, it does affect sometimes. So I would advise them to really follow what is in the leaflet.
All the instructions.
Right.
One self-remedy that gets discussed, you know, a lot is drinking coffee to increase the efficacy of medications. Is there any truth to that?
Very interesting. Okay. Well, I wouldn't know whether what I'm saying is really correct, but of course there's a... We know coffee contains caffeine.
Yep.
Well, it's a sort of stimulant. It mixes, you know, it's a sense of well-being there. And interestingly, there's a formulation of paracetamol which has got caffeine in there. Well, there's a synergistic effect where it improves the efficacy of the medication. But as for whether taking paracetamol and drinking the coffee, I guess there should be an effect, but no study has, as far as I know, there's not been any study done on that. I think somebody should do a study on that.
Maybe we should.
Right.
We should. When do we need to really see a specialist? I mean, when would you refer someone to a specialist?
Well, if they come in and then we see certain signs which points towards a neurological involvement causing headache, we would definitely refer to a specialist. Failing which, if the patient were to come back to me after a few times and they find that the medication is not really helping, then we would refer them. But sometimes it's a gut feeling. Because we've been practicing so many years.
I've seen some GPs look into the eye and... What are you looking at? Can you actually look into the brain?
We're looking to the souls. Well, no, we don't look into the brain. It's just that, I mean, there are certain signs we should see in the eye for certain diseases and all that. But when it comes to headache, not really. It's just that whether there's constriction of the eye, I mean, pupil and all that. But as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to headache, if they're going to show me some signs in the pupils, if I see something, that I would get worried.
Okay.
But otherwise, no.
All right. You know, in your years of practice and when it comes to headaches, what has been your concern most of all when it comes to people's attitude towards headaches?
Well, people's attitude, it's a spectrum, because there are some people who just dismiss headache as something normal, even though they keep having it every time, you know, and it might lead, it might be something more sinister. But there are also some people who you know, they just come to us and say they want an MRI done of the brain just because of a single episode of headache. So you get the broad spectrum there. But as far as I'm concerned, headaches, I do not know the exact term, but then it does affect a lot of people. And when you know, the economy of our country is actually, it does affect.
It does. Productivity. It does.
Correct, right.
Okay. Mm. And so should we, as a nation, start looking at how to curb headaches? I mean, as trivial as it sounds, if it is in fact affecting productivity, then something needs to be done.
Well, healthy lifestyle, relieving of stress.
Which is what every doctor says. Yes,
but nobody does it.
Nobody does it because some people don't know where to start. Some people need, policies put in place to make them do it.
And do you know that practicing a healthy lifestyle is sometimes more expensive?
It is.
When you join all the centers and all that. Coming back to that, I myself sometimes guilty of not practicing a healthy lifestyle.
I've had this discussion with other doctors as to how the doctors need to lead a healthy lifestyle first before you can actually give out this advice. So when someone comes to you, I mean, and you say you need to, you know, get healthy and exercise even more, how do you even start? I mean, if you don't exercise yourself, then there is this gap. The patient goes back and doesn't know what to do, and so doesn't do anything.
After 20 years in practice, well, I know how to sort of sidestep the question if the patient will bring it up.
You know, and it's also a question I have always asked, if maybe in every GP clinic, or you should have often on the services of maybe a certified trainer who can give out some of this good information, because primary care is where it all begins. Once people move on to specialist care, it means a lot of damage is done already. But your final message on headaches, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, there are medication available over the counter, but please do be careful when you purchase such medication, because sometimes you do not know what it's indicated for. Please read the indication, and if you do not know, you have to ask a pharmacist. Failing which, if you need further advice, ask your family doctor.
Okay, when do we come and seek advice, medical advice, when it comes to headaches? How often should it occur before I actually come and see you?
It's a very difficult question to answer, because a headache comes in many, many forms, and tension type of headache, sometimes it can be chronic, and it is not sinister at all. There's nothing wrong with it. But whatever it is, if you get worried, please to see your doctor.
Okay. Right. So just get it out of your system. Right. Make sure. Thank you very much for joining me today, Doctor.
Okay. Thank you, Mira.
Dr. Kokachai, a general practitioner and act as our office bearer of the Malaysian Medical Association, on the topic of headaches on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.